Open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. I'm glad that Heather read this passage earlier. We've been looking at it a couple of weeks now, and it's this beautiful story of a woman who is sinful, known to be sinful, as we all are, but she had this reputation of sin in the community, especially amongst the religious leaders, and Jesus forgave her, and she demonstrated that forgiveness in this outpouring of love and thankfulness, regardless of what was surrounding her, even though she faced, you know, the Pharisees looking at her in ways that they looked down upon her and questioned her and questioned Jesus. But she poured herself at Jesus' feet and Jesus forgave her. And today, we're going to look at that very last phrase of this story. Go in peace. This is what Jesus said to her. Go in peace. We're going to talk about what that means. This is something that I think a lot of us, a lot of people in the world struggle with. This is idea of having peace. Having peace within ourselves. And we're going to take a look at what that means and how we can have more and more of that. This is what Jesus came. The Bible says this is why Jesus came, to bring us peace. And it says that the God is a God of peace. I'm going to read from Judges chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. It says, when Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is peace." Yahweh Shalom. God is peace. The Lord God is peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, in the prophecy about the Messiah, "For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." As Jesus was being born, this is the prophecy. This is what it would say about him. Where, if you're in the Gospel of Luke there, you can turn back a few chapters to chapter 1. And getting ready for his birth and the prophecy surrounding that and what happens when he is born. In Luke 1:68, it says this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." Go on to verses 78 and 79. "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is why Jesus came, to guide us into peace. For those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death. When we think about this woman in her past condition, she was in a place of darkness, in the shadow of death, and Jesus guides her into peace. Luke 2:12-14, at Jesus' birth, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Peace among people that God is pleased with. Well, who is God pleased with? Who is this peace coming to? What we talked about last week is that there is one thing that pleases God. What is the one thing the Bible describes as pleasing to God? Faith. Hebrews 11:6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." This is what we talked about last week, about this woman demonstrated faith in her actions, faith and trust in Jesus Christ. She had nothing else to offer. But she offered faith, and that's exactly what she needed to offer. The Pharisees, they thought they had a whole bunch more to offer, but they didn't have anything to offer because they didn't even have faith to offer. But she had faith, and in that she was pleasing to God, and so she had peace. Going in peace means to be reconciled with God through faith. We talked about the tenses that were in this passage and in this verse, where the Pharisees looked at the woman and said, she is a sinner. Jesus and Luke, when they spoke about the woman, talked about it in the past tense. She was a sinner and she is forgiven. And the tense again of her being forgiven is perfect tense, which means that it was an action that happened at one point and it has eternal consequences. The arrow goes on in that tense. So she was forgiven, and that forgiveness extends through eternity. This is who she is in God's eyes. She is reconciled with God through faith. From death, from fear, from separation, from darkness, to peace and light in life. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Going to verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is the peace that Jesus came to bring. That we were enemies with God. We were headed for death, headed for destruction, separated from God. But through Jesus Christ, through faith, we are able to be reconciled with God, and in that have peace. I don't know when you became a Christian, if you're a Christian in this room, but for me, there was a time when I was 5, 6 years old, a long time ago, but there was a lack of peace. There was this sense of sin. I've talked about a dream that I used to have when I was a kid, and it's really hard to explain, but the idea is there was kind of my side and God's side, or a perfect side, and there was this sort of ledger in the form of dots, and my side had dots and his side had dots, and everything is kind of silly, but I hated this dream. I would wake up with just this pit in my stomach, because on one side it was my side, and every time I would get a dot, the perfect side would get a dot. But sometimes I wouldn't get a dot, and the perfect side would get a dot. And the idea was I was always falling behind. There was no way to reach perfection. There was this separation. You know, some of you are thinking, I just played Pac-Man too much when I was a kid. But I didn't play Pac-Man. We were poor, so I played Dot Gobbler. It was like the generic version of Pac-Man. Anyway. But it wasn't that. It was this sense of, I am imperfect. I am falling short. I cannot be with God. There's this separation, and there was this angst. There was this lack of peace. And it was when I came to Jesus Christ, I accepted his salvation, and as a kid, I feel like it took a few times to stick, where I realized it stuck, and is that a word, stuck? Stuck. Hans, the English major, says it stuck, so I'll believe him. And it stuck, and a peace came from that. This peace of, okay, now I'm right with God. And there was a peace that, I'm not going to say that for the rest of my life, there's never been any lack of peace. But honestly, since that point, the lack of peace that I've felt since then has never been that bad. And there's this sense that since that point, there's a peace that I have with God. There's this reconciliation that I know has occurred. And it's kind of funny. I don't know if you have like a best friend or someone where it's like, if you're good with that person, like you're good in life. Like if the two, like if I'm good with that person, I'm good. I feel like that's the way it should be with all of us in God. Like if I am good with God, like whatever else is happening, like I'm good. I'm okay. I have this reconciliation. I have this peace that comes with it. And this passage talks about exultant tribulations, that this peace is not the absence of negative stuff. It's not the absence of difficulty. It's not the absence of tribulation. Going in peace means going in peace always, even in the midst of tribulations. If we think about this woman from the story, she was still facing hostility from the Pharisees. In fact, she may have been facing hostility from her own sort of fellow sinners who she spent time with before this. And now she's a different person in this. She did not just walk from this with just some perfect life to walk to. But even in the midst of that, Jesus says, go in peace. In John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. It's a beautiful verse there. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but it doesn't mean you can't have peace. Take courage, I've overcome the world. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And this fear is the opposite of peace in this sense. In peace, we think of the opposite being war, something like that. That's that external peace. But in this internal peace, fear is the opposite. Anxiety is the opposite of peace. Jesus says, do not let your heart be fearful. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And not as the world gives. The world gives often temporary things. The world gives things that look good on the outside but don't last. Jesus, what he gives is everlasting and eternal. Isaiah 54:10. Turn to Isaiah if you would. Isaiah 54, we're going to look at. When we talk about this idea of peace in the midst of difficult circumstances, and as the prophets were writing around the time of Isaiah, and as well as after, Israel was not doing well. They were headed for being kicked out of their land. It was not a good time, but the promises of God were still there, and there was looking to the future. You're reading Isaiah 54, starting in verse 10. It says, for the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And then verse 13, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. It was this promise of this covenant to come, this time to come, when there would be peace and the children would be taught by God and have this intense and mighty peace. All right, pop quiz for all of you. What does 54 come after? Did I hear 53? Very good, Eric. Excellent. So what is Isaiah 53? Why do I bring that up? What is Isaiah 53? If you're not familiar with Isaiah 53, then I have not been doing my job well enough. Because Isaiah 53 is this beautiful, amazing passage of the prophecy of the suffering servant, the sacrifice that Jesus would bring. And so Isaiah 54 is this promise of this covenant of peace to come, and that peace is going to come. And Isaiah 53 explains how that peace is bought, how that peace was purchased. So look at Isaiah 53. And look at verse 4, starting in verse 4. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this is the peace that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. With his death on the cross, his blood, his sacrifice, that is the peace that we have been bought, that he can then give and promise in Isaiah 54. Jesus references Isaiah 54 verse in John 6:45, and he's declaring that he is the one that is there bringing it to pass, that whoever comes to him will have that peace. He is the one fulfilling the Isaiah passage of buying in chapter 53 and bringing in chapter 54 that peace. It's a promise of peace, again, regardless of what surrounds. That language of, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but the peace will still be there. And it's hard to see it, because when you actually see the mountains removed and things shaking, you might be able to say, yeah, peace. But when that happens, that your body experiences that fear, it's very easy for that to happen. I remember this one time when I was surfing, and I've only surfed a few different times. I'm not very good. I mentioned last week that I was a lifeguard, but I was not a very good swimmer. It's okay. It was just at a pool, and most everyone else knew how to swim anyway, so it was all right. I'm teasing a little bit, but I could swim, but not for very long. I tend to sink. Anyway, my head mostly floats, so I can, get up there, but... So I was surfing this one time, and it was not easy, I was not very good, and I just got, I don't know if I was up on the board at this time or trying to get up, but just got destroyed by a wave. I mean, totally destroyed, shoved underneath the water. And if you've ever been in a situation somewhat like that, you know the power of the ocean. Like, you know the tumultuousness of that, and you know you cannot fight against that. Like, no matter what you do, there's nothing that you can do to save yourself at that point. In that moment when you're under and the ocean is churning you, basically you're at its will. I think that's what we feel like sometimes in our life, where like our world is just sucking us under, it's tumultuous, and there's nothing we can do. And in that point, I don't know how this happened with God or something, but I was just under the water there thinking, there's nothing I can do, so I might as well just relax. Honestly, and I had this peace, and it was just like, okay, if I try to fight, I'm not going to be able to do anything at this point. I remember that my head floats, so at some point, I'm pretty sure, the ocean is going to spit me out to the top. My head's going to float, and then I can deal with it, right? Then I can start swimming, then I can grab my board, then I can find it. But in the midst of being under that ocean, there was this sense of just being at peace, surrounded by just intense tumultuousness. And if we have that relationship with God, this is what he can offer us. That in the middle of whatever is going on, we can just have that and say, look, this is beyond what I can handle, but God, ultimately, you're in control. And also, you made promises to me. You told me that my head floats. So I'm going to wait for that, right? I'm just going to be at peace, and I'm going to wait for that. Going in peace means going with the blessing of God. Going in peace means going with the blessing of God. You see this in some of the language when this phrase is used. You see it a couple of times in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 1:17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. The same kind of just like go in peace, go with the blessing of God. In Judges 18:5-6, it says, they said to him, inquire of God, please, that we may know whether our way on which we are going will be prosperous. The priest said to them, go in peace,
your way in which you are going has the Lord's approval.
Now, if you actually look at the context of that, it seems like the priest was kind of making things up and was not doing a good job, and he was kind of wrong in what he was talking about. But my point being is the meaning of that phrase, to go in peace, is to go with the Lord's blessing, to go with His approval. And so when Jesus looks at this woman and says, go in peace, He's saying, regardless of what the Pharisees are saying about you, regardless of what anyone else is saying about you, you can go with the blessing of God. You are going with God's blessing, with God's approval, with my approval, with the approval of Jesus Christ. When we think about the situations in our life, and Heather will talk about this, where if she's going into a difficult work situation or going into a meeting with people who may not have her best interests at heart or may not be people of good character sometimes, and she'll walk into that knowing and saying to herself, okay, I'm going in with a lesser title, I'm going in with lesser this, with lesser that, but what they don't realize is that I'm walking into this meeting with the God of the universe with me. And that's something all of us who are children of God can say. That I'm going into this situation, but I'm walking into this situation with the God of the universe next to me. Sometimes God would open up people's eyes in the Old Testament and they would be fearful or something like that. Sometimes we feel like, I wish God would do this for me, where He shows like the 10,000 angels and He's like, you don't know it, but this is right here. But we can realize that with faith, understand that we're walking into these situations. We're walking in with the blessing of God. We're walking in with the God of the universe next to us. We don't have to fear. We can have peace in these situations. Going in peace means going with the blessing of God. Going in peace means to go in a new direction, freed from the slavery to sin. Talked about this before, but the Bible talks about this woman as being a past tense sinner and a perfect tense forgiven woman. It means going in a new direction, freed from slavery to sin. Now, we're all still going to sin after coming to Christ, but going in peace means we don't have to have that slavery to sin anymore. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. By the way, all of these scripture references are in your notes. I know you're not going to be able to get to all of them as we're running through them here, but you can also look at them later. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24 says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. To sanctify is to set apart for a holy purpose and to be made more and more in that purpose, to become more and more in the image of Jesus Christ. Here's another verse, Romans 16:20. I love the phrasing of this. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. It's like the God of peace will crush Satan. Right? Peaceful is not wimpy. Peaceful in this sense is crushing Satan, removing that slavery to sin, breaking those chains, allowing us to be free from that. To be able to go in peace means I am no longer a slave underneath sin, held in that world where Satan rules. I'm freed from that. And I can go in peace in a new direction. Finally, going in peace means to be made whole. The Hebrew word shalom. Now, this text that we're reading is in Greek, and so this word is not used, but I'm sure the meaning of that peace would have come in with the background of Jesus being Jewish in the Old Testament. That Hebrew shalom is rooted in the word completion or wholeness. That to be able to go in peace is to go with a new wholeness, a new completion. In Luke 2:28, this word peace is used in a man who was promised that he would see the Lord's Messiah before he died. And in Luke 2:28, it says, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace." He's kind of saying, "You have allowed me to have this completed life now. You've allowed me to be able to have fulfilled what you promised to me." There's this wholeness and completion that comes with the peace of God. No longer have this hole in our heart, this emptiness that's been filled with God, and we're made whole, made complete, and we can go in peace, go in shalom, go in wholeness. What if everything I said sounds good? Like, yes, I give the thumbs up, but you still don't feel peace. What do you do when you struggle with an anxiety? And I wish I had like a perfect answer. We're going to talk about a couple of things briefly. But I know that some of you struggle with this, and I know that probably all of us struggle with this some of the time. And so this is something that we're going to look at some steps, but I just know that you're not the only one also if you're struggling with issues of anxiety. But I want us more and more to be people that have this sense of peace, that know this peace that God promises here. And step one of things to do is meditate on His Word, to bathe in Scripture. Because we might agree or know all of these things that I'm talking about today in terms of going in peace and being in peace, but we can forget those things. And the more we bathe ourselves in Scripture and remind ourselves of these promises, I pray the more that this peace would come. We can sing to God. We come together and we do it on Sunday mornings. And I'm so grateful for our worship team. You guys are amazing. And it's this great time for us to come together and just sing to God and have the peace that can come with that. We can do it throughout the week. You know, sing in the stores, in your office, at home, just sing out to God. One thing you can do is go out into nature. I mean, go out into things that God created. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if this quote works with everyone, but like when you go, sometimes Heather and I will go hiking. She takes me hiking. And when you get into nature and just are surrounded by things that God made, there's a peace that a lot of times will happen in your soul. And especially if you contrast it with the drive to get out to the hiking place. Man, the traffic on the 405 and 10, and then I missed my get off to the 10 yesterday. It was so frustrating, right? But that happens a lot in traffic. It happens a lot in life. But then you go out into God's creation and you pray and you feel this. You can feel this sense of peace being around what God made. Yeah, we need to remind ourselves of the truths of God. One of the most important biblical truths that brings me peace is the sovereignty of God. Ultimately, God is in control. Because when I have a lack of peace now, a lot of times it's, on Sunday night or Monday morning, what did I say in that sermon? Did I do this? Did I do that? And there's kind of an angst and jitteriness sometimes. It's just a reminder that, like, I'm going to try to do my best and be faithful to teaching the Word, but ultimately God is in control. Ultimately God is in control. Doesn't mean we just go off and do whatever. You know, we make our choices. We try to follow God in the best way. But ultimately, He is in control. He is sovereign. He has got it covered. He's not going to, you know, allow us to mess up someone else's eternity or something like that. I believe very much in evangelism and that type of thing. But ultimately, my mistake is not going to, destroy the world. God is in control. God is faithful. We need to ask God to remember His Word, to show Him the promises that He's made. Say, God, this is what You said. Please make this come to be in my life. I want you guys to take out the note sheet that is in your bulletin. I want you to flip it over. is God makes this amazing promise through the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 9. What I want you to do is take a pen or a pencil and write out this passage, Philippians 4, 6 through 9. I know I could have just printed it on there and told you to tape this to your mirror, but I think it's really important that you write it out with your own hand. You think about the words. And I don't think if I printed it out that you were going to put it on your mirror. But I think if you actually take with your own handwriting and write it out, you're going to be like, wow, my handwriting is really good. I have excellent calligraphy and I want to hang this up. At this point, I may have made some people too aware of their handwriting. And they're going to be like, ooh, this is not good enough. I don't know if I can hang it up. Anyway, so I want you to write this verse out. And I'm going to read it, and I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And as you write this, as you read this, as you put this on your bathroom mirror and read it again, you can remind God and say, God, this is your promise to me. You promised that if I put these things before you in prayer, that the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard my heart and my mind. So if I'm not feeling that, God, this is what you promised. Please bring this peace to me. And then this is what I want you to do. At the bottom of that sheet that says list things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good, repute, excellent, and worthy of praise, I want you to write down things that are that. Right? So you can write down something like, I am a child of God. God is in control. The God of the universe walks with me. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am forgiven. And then in parentheses, perfect tense, forgiven. You can make up your own. You can make up personal ones. Things that are important to you. Things that are happy. The Cubs are in first place in their division, right? You can write that one down. I know Kurt's looking at me. He's going to say the Cardinals are tied with the Cubs in first place in their division. They've won 8 in a row. So write these two things out. I'll give you some more time. Write out the verse. Write out things that are true and honorable and right and pure. And Heather talks about this too, that a lot of times Satan, or just our nature, or this anxiety, this fear, is like this tape recorder that just gets played at us. For you younger kids, an MP3 player, back in our day, we used tape recorders, that plays over and over again. And the idea is changing the track, right? Changing it to different things that gets played over and over your head. So that's what the bottom section of this is about. Changing that anxiety, that fear, that this, to this other thing. To dwell in those positive things. So I'm going to give you just another minute or two to do this. All right, let's pray together.
Dear God, I thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect, righteous life. And with his death, to buy our peace, to allow us to be reconciled to you, to allow us to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so we know that we can stand in your presence, made whole. God, I pray for this peace that surpasses understanding. I pray that it would fill each person in this room who knows you. And for if there's anyone here who does not know you, that they would feel the lack of peace until they come before you and find your perfect presence, your perfect peace, your salvation. And God, for those who know you, I pray that you would overwhelm them with your peace. And I pray that they would look at your verse, look at your promises, and know them by heart. And God, when notions of fear and anxiety come forward, God, I pray that they would remind themselves and dwell on the truths that you have promised them, that you have promised each one of us. And I pray that as they do that, as we do that, that any anxiety, any fear would leave them. God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to reign in each one of us, and that as each one of us becomes a person at peace, that we would also be peacemakers in our society. God, that we would demonstrate a love that just flows out of that peace that we have with you, and we would have peace with each other, and that we would demonstrate what it means to be people of different viewpoints, different races, different ages, who all come together in beautiful peace and joy as your children, as your family. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your promises. We pray that you would go before us and send us out in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.